Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Mwanahiba.
Good afternoon, my brother, and how are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you doing on that, on your end?
No, we're doing well, man. Enjoying the weather, but excited that it's a Friday and the Sabbath is upon us.
Amen. We are indeed excited about Sabbath.
Hallelujah, indeed. Hallelujah, indeed. Well, we're concluding our discussion that we've been having the week over and, you know, wrapping up on cultivating generosity in this cruel, greedy culture world. And we want to look at the concept of giving responsibly. And we don't talk about that enough. Is there a time to say no, or we just have to give and give indiscriminately and give some more? Or should there be some kind of a limit or being circumspect in giving? So, Pastor, how can we then give generously while doing it responsibly? Should there be a limit to our giving?
Very good question, my brother, and very important subject for us to discuss today. We have a what I would like to call a cliche in the Christendom that says whenever you are faced by any situation, the question you should ask is, what would Jesus do? I have a problem with that question because of its premise. The premise where we say, what would Jesus do, almost assumes that we are saying that anything Jesus could do, we can also do. Unfortunately, my brother, that is not the truth. Because when Jesus would meet 5,000 hungry men, he was able to feed all of them. And unfortunately, that is something that maybe you and I don't have the capacity to do as individuals.
True.
And so to simply ask, well, what would Jesus do? Maybe the question we should ask is, what should a responsible Christian do as a follower of Jesus? To begin with, I want to say it is very important that we understand our priorities in life. God is always, should always be the first, it should always be the center of our lives. And then God himself says, in terms of priorities and structure, he says, the man who fails to take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah.
Now, if you are going to engage in a giving pattern that endangers the food security, the social security of your family, then you are even more irresponsible than someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. So, when it comes to giving, we have to be responsible. We have to actually, as a church, we have, in this month of February, we have what we call the month of stewardship emphasis, this month in February.
Yes.
And basically, one of the things that we advocate as a church is something that we call systematic benevolence. And when we talk about systematic benevolence, we are talking about the kind of giving that is structured and organized and purposeful. The kind of giving that is planned, where you sit down as a family and basically look at all the responsibilities, all the needs of the church, and allocate, after you have given your tithe and offering, you make allocations on what assistance you want to give to the church.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, sometimes systematic benevolence is taught as simply a means for the church to make money or to earn, you know, to generate income. But systematic benevolence, I believe, my brother, should be a lifestyle for every Christian. Where if I am going to decide that I need to help my cousins, if I need to help my brothers, if I need to help my sisters, if I need to help the poor, which God actually requires from us, we need to take time to plan and be purposeful, knowing that we are limited. We are not like Christ who can feed 5,000. Then we need to organize ourselves in such a manner that we say, what is the percentage I want to allocate for this month to help the poor? You put that one aside, and once that amount is spent, then you cannot no longer do anything. For example, Brother Zama, I don't know how it is in South Africa nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
In Zambia, you'll find that as you drive through the city of Lusaka, people will come. You'll meet probably someone who is crippled, begging for money. You'll meet somebody who is a street kid, begging for money.
It's like that here,
the
too.
The issue is... Pardon me, say that again?
I'm saying it's exactly like that here as well.
It's the same there, yeah. Mm. So the issue is that we cannot be able to give and assist each one of the people in need that come our way. And to assume that we can is actually irresponsible.
Mm.
But I think what I would say probably is, as we give, let us try to structure our giving, let us try to plan our giving, and more importantly, when we help, let us look for solutions that are long-lasting. Let's try to look, see how we can make, you know, when you, sometimes it's as if we've been oriented that we must give a loaf of bread, we must give soap, we must give t-shirts that we are no longer using. But let us try to think about actually empowering people so that, you know, we give them a gift that keeps on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's a very, very organized way of giving. And I like that you say, you're mentioning a systematic benevolence, because then it ensures that you actually plan your giving so that you don't disadvantage your family in the name of being a good giver. Thank you for that. Now, how do we avoid then to be taken advantage of? Is there a way? Because sometimes, and I've heard many people actually in the church complaining that every time there's a need, they come to me. Every time there's a need for giving, they don't go to anyone else. They just shoot straight to me as if I don't have any other responsibilities. And so a person keeps on giving, and the AMO leader will come, and then next week it will be the head deacon will come, and then the other week it will be the elder coming, and that other week it will be the women's ministries. That other week it will be the children's. So every time, and these people don't necessarily know that last week the personal ministries leader was there. They're coming for their own department to say, "Hey man, can you please just help us with the so much questions?"
Yeah.
How do you avoid? Because then you end up feeling like, "I'm no man. Come on, these guys are taking advantage of me because they've heard that I've got a little bit of money." Is there a way to avoid that?
Yeah, you know, and I think we alluded to this text either in our discussion yesterday, the other day, or probably almost every session. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to about 8, that each one should give as they have determined in their heart. Now, that text, of course, teaches us that God loves a cheerful giver. But not only that does God love a cheerful giver, God loves a giver who plans his giving.
Lovely.
To purpose in your heart, you know, as to give as you have purposed in your heart means that you planned, you were intentional.
Yes.
And so I think when we talk about the church, before we talk about helping other people out in the world, we need to understand the program and the mission of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we should understand what is a priority and what seems... what is the area of focus? I know that we have the leeway for donors in the church structure to give towards a department that they feel like they want to support. It is much better, while we have that freedom, it is much better to give a percentage to the church as an offering and allow the administration of the church to apportion and decide how much can we allocate to helping the poor, how much can we decide to allocate to the personal ministries department, to the stewardship department, and so on and so forth. But I think what really matters, just like tithe, when we have given, we basically have done our part.
Mm.
We have done what God requires, and we leave the rest into the hands of God. Now, when it comes to not being taken advantage of, the first thing that I want to say is to understand that there are people out there that can take advantage of us. There, this world is full of, my brother, people that I would like to call parasites. Yeah, you know, parasites, they don't get satisfied. They suck blood until it kills them. Until basically, they suck until they can't suck anymore. They keep getting and getting and getting. And there are people like that. And so the first thing to understand is this world has people like that. A Christian is not supposed to be someone who is naive. A Christian should not be somebody who is unwise. So a Christian should be somebody that understands that they need to set healthy boundaries. And this, you know, and let me say this. I know we have a broad audience, but let me say this especially to those of us that are, you know, Africans, you know, Africans in particular. We have a challenge, especially as Black people, we have a challenge where, you know, once you have got a job, you've got employment, then you become you become the provider for each and every one of your relatives. It should not work like that. This one comes today, they are crying for, you know, school fees. That one comes tomorrow, they're crying. So we need to set healthy boundaries. We need to be able to let people know that I can give what I have. At the moment, I cannot manage to keep giving. Yeah. And that way, we protect our own mental health, we protect our finances, and we protect our families.
Is there such a thing as, I've heard people talking about giving fatigue. Is there such a thing?
You know, I think they could be. They could be. Speaking from a human standpoint, they could be. Because to begin with, We don't have unlimited resources.
True.
We don't have unlimited resources. So where we may debate the terminology, fatigue of giving, but one thing for sure is if you continue giving, your resources will be depleted. Yeah, if you continue giving, anyone that comes your way, your resources will be depleted, and that brings strain. For people that are married, you know, if there's one thing that brings a lot of friction in homes, is finances. If you find yourself between a rock and a hard place in terms of your financial situation, that can bring a lot of other drama in the home. And so it's important that we are responsible.
Now, does God necessarily need us to give? I mean, will he not provide for his people and for his purposes even without our help?
Okay, good question. Does God need us to give? I believe, my brother, God doesn't need anything.
Yeah.
Actually, the word need itself is one that can never really be associated with God.
Yeah, yeah.
God is all-powerful. And you find a lot of stories in the Bible where you wonder, but why didn't God just take care of this situation without the human involvement? And a good example is, you know, the boy who brought the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish.
Yeah.
When we in the context of feeding the 5,000, Jesus actually begins by telling the disciples, "You yourselves find them something to eat."
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you look at it, did Jesus really need those fish? And the 5 loaves from the boy or from the disciples? And the answer is no. You see, this is the same Jesus who caused manna to fall from heaven to feed his people in the wilderness. This is the same God who, you know, Elijah is in the wilderness and he is being fed day and night by the ravens. Bread and meat and water and everything that he needed was supplied.
Yeah.
So I do believe that God has proved if he wants to help and feed the whole world without our assistance. He has the capacity. Mm-hmm. He's more than able to do that. But again, I think, yes, was it yesterday or the other day, we talked about something we call the joy of the Lord that he wants us to experience.
Yeah.
That by us giving, we get to enjoy the blessing and benefit of being co-laborers with Jesus Christ.
True, true. Now, how do we teach our children and those under our care to be generous in a toxic, manipulative, greedy world that takes advantage of kindness? Because, you know, when children are watching these things happening, it's not like they don't see. They may end up saying, "Nah, I'm definitely cruel world. I'm not going to be getting myself involved in any sort of giving." How do we then teach them in spite of what they see?
You know, it's amazing that you ask that question, because when we think about our children, my brother, children are growing up in a very different world than we grew up in.
Yes.
The world that our children are growing up and the world that our parents grew up in is completely, the difference is night and day. In terms of the challenges, in terms of, I believe really that the world generally, even when we talk about the world economy, and I believe this from a prophetic standpoint, that the world is in decline.
Yeah.
I don't really, and I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but a lot of people are looking for things to get better when God is actually trying to wrap up the story. When you actually look at Daniel's dream in Daniel chapter 2, from the head of gold, then we have the chest of silver. And if you look at that, what you find is actually the metals are declining in terms of quality, from gold to silver to bronze to iron. I think it's also reflective of the state of the world in terms of finances and economics. Things are getting harder. But one of the things I want to say is, let us teach our children some of the things that we have already alluded to.
Yeah.
Setting healthy boundaries is very important, because it's important to teach our children the importance of giving. They should not grow up as children also that are very stingy. But we should teach them that they should give what they have, what they are able to share. They should go above and beyond, but at the same time, they should set boundaries to make sure that they are not disadvantaging themselves. Secondly, maybe there may be a lot of things we could say about that, but is also choosing the right friends. Choosing the right friends. You talked about how they are growing up in a toxic world, a toxic environment. So it's important to choose friends that don't want to milk you and suck the life out of you, but want to add value to you. And this is true, you know, even when we talk about romantic relationships. Unfortunately, there are many romantic relationships where either the boy or the girl sees the other, you know, as an organism from which they can suck, and drain and milk.
Yeah.
But let's teach our children how to associate well, the kind of friends and what qualities they should look for as they are choosing friends and life partners.
Pastor, we're going to be concluding and we're going to be letting you go. Would you have any final remarks, anything that you would want to, you know, emphasize with our listeners as we allow you to go?
Yes. First of all, Brother Zama, to you in a special way, I just want to register my gratitude. And I'm so thankful that of the so many pastors and presenters out there that you could have chosen to share with you, that you thought about us. And I pray that God continues to bless your ministry. To the listeners out there, if I was to say maybe one or two final words, I would say that, first of all, let us remember Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's one of my favorite quotes by Pablo Picasso. Pablo Picasso says, and I truly believe this, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away.
Yeah.
Is to give it away. And so really, in life, to enjoy a full and meaningful life, let us cultivate the ability to share, to be benevolent, to give. Because when we have practiced that, then we become more like God than we have ever been.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful one. Pastor Amasa, thank you so much, and blessings to you. I wish that you would enjoy the weekend, and blessings to you and your family as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, brothers. And happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. God thank bless. You. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.